assaulting down the avenue. I never thought I'd see a stack like you. 36 down 2. With 8.38s and HMGs, that strong attack broke me right in two. It broke in six, it's true. And I ran, I routed far away. I just ran, I ran toward hex row A.
Low crawl? No way!
DM appears above my head, a badge of shame for the next turn or two. The troops hate me, it's true. The coward's running faster still, until some woods or buildings come in view, till cover comes in view. And I ran far from the fray. I just ran, 'cause no quarter's in play.
In cover I will stay.
Shot and routed out again. I'm running like that Forrest Gump, it's true. Soon be all board two.
And I ran, I don't want to pass away. I just ran, stay and fight, no way.
We will lose anyway.
I ran to live another day.
I just ran. What can a coward say?
I ran.
That's good enough for government work, boys and girls.
It's the spirit of the song. We captured the flavor.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Dose Two Half Squads, the one and only podcast on LaNet, or is it LNet?
LNet.
Dedicated to the greatest game in the world. Not kidding. There is no contest. Greatest game in the world.
Yeah. Advanced Squad Leader.
Yeah. Thank you. I couldn't remember the name. I knew it was the greatest, but. Around my house, we just call it the greatest. I'm going to be playing the greatest. And it's good to see you. I'm Jeff.
I'm Dave.
Good to see you, Dave.
Good to see you, sir.
And I'm sad in advance because I know you're going to be gone for a couple of weeks. David is going to Europe.
Yes. Yeah, so we've talked before on the show about it, but
it's coming right up.
Imminent.
Yeah. And we can say Europe, right? On the show. Okay. So I'm going to miss you. I brought a little libation, drink to your very good health. Clink, clink, and drink. We're only the
voila.
Best.
We didn't use our half squads. Chocolates.
Oh, yeah, we should have. And we're only drinking the best tonight. We've got Screwball.
Yeah, show that on the screen.
Peanut butter whiskey. I've never had this before till a few weeks ago, and I kind of like it, even without... Because I like peanut butter.
It is tasty.
It's very tasty.
I must admit.
So, yes, we'll be looking forward to your return from Europe and a report on that. But, God, that opening song, huh? Wasn't that fantastic?
That was fantastic. I went repeat from 103 or something that long ago.
Wow.
And thanks to Dennis Donovan again and to the Two Half Squad singers for singing that.
They did a great job, namely Aaron and you, right?
No, but we'll let the listeners have to figure that
out. Oh, okay. I'm a listener. Do I have to figure it out?
Did you not know that was you singing that?
What? Was it me? Get out.
You're joking me. Okay, you are joking me. Yeah. Because at first I thought it was Aaron. Yeah. Because it had been a while. And I had some of that peanut butter go down the wrong windpipe.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that.
Clearing that out. But they're used to that with my asthma and all. But
yeah.
Anyway, you know what was fun tonight? Well, with the song I Ran.
Yes.
I thought we could relate a little stories about running.
Okay.
I have one. Because you know I don't run.
No, I don't run either.
But I can walk very quickly to wherever I need to go.
That's right. It works very well.
When we were kids, a couple running stories. Let's see. We had that giant snowball. I probably told this before, but giant. It was like part of a snowman. And the guys took it, two of them. And we're going to throw it at a car when the car came by. Yeah. We didn't realize about the last size, weight, I don't know, physics. And so I think I was the signaler. So as the car was coming, headlights coming, and I said, all right, ready, two, three, go. And then they ran forward and hurled this thing and it hit right on the side of the star of the police car.
No.
Yeah. I don't know. The headlights were coming right at me. I was peeking around a garage or whatever tree, and boom, he stopped and we all took off running.
Oh yeah,
just running into board three, next row.
Yeah,
we scattered.
Oh,
and there were a couple of these instances. That one was winter.
Yeah, I would think so.
And we,
I don't know a lot about snow, but
I don't remember where I ran, but none of us got caught. And then there was another incident with this community truck, like a garbage truck or something was going around. It was night. And I think he thought somehow that we threw a rock at him or something, but we really did not. But something happened. He was looking for people. And so when a big utility vehicle comes roaring down the road at you, what does a group of freshmen in high school do?
Well, let's see. Is this an essay question?
Guess what we did?
You ran.
We all just ran.
Yeah.
Right? Well, we didn't run.
Yeah,
so we scattered. And I remember plowing through backyards and hitting low garden fences or something.
Oh, yeah.
Bam, right over. It's dark out, you know. And it was always so exciting.
Yes.
And then when you get back home, you can tell stories. Oh, I ran to here and I climbed up this tree and oh, I fell in this garden and I rolled under a bush or, you know, but then Gary got caught.
Oh, by the guy in the utility vehicle?
Somehow caught him.
No kidding.
I don't know how.
Wow.
I think maybe they did have police coming. Like once someone threw a rock, I don't know. But anyway, they caught him, took him to the police station and interrogated him. And called Rich Tusky's mom. And then she, as we returned to the house, like, all right, get in there with the other kids and sit down in the living room.
Oh.
The police called. They got Gary. What did you guys do? I'm like, we did nothing. We really did nothing. Why did you run? And so we all had to go down to the department together.
Oh.
And then they let us go.
That's a classic thing in the police shows, TV shows. What did you do? I didn't do anything. Why did you run? You're chasing me.
That's what kids do.
Of course, you run.
So do you have any running stories?
Running stories. You know, I can't remember ever running from the police for anything. I was a good boy. I guess I was a good boy. I led a very dull life. compared to you.
Well, throwing this giant snowball was probably real dumb.
Yeah. You remember when streaking was popular?
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't do that either. But I knew some guys that did. And it was embarrassing. The whole thing was embarrassing.
How did you handle the police? Have you ever been pulled over?
I was pulled over once in the city of Chicago. And there were two couples in the car, me and my girlfriend and my friend Vance and his girlfriend. And Vance said to me, if the cop comes, you can offer him some money. I said, no. And he said, yeah. So the cop came up to the window and he said, why don't you come back to the car with me? And I went back to the car with him and I said, can I give you $20? We can just forget it. And he said, get in the back seat right now. Get in the back seat right now.
No, did he?
Yes. Really? So I got in the back seat. And I'm like, oh, that's it. It's over. He's taking me to San Quentin or San Jose or wherever. Sandusky.
San Luis Obispo.
Yeah. And I thought, this is it. It's over. I got in the back seat. And he said, let's conduct a business like gentlemen here. I said, okay. He said, just leave it on the back seat and get out of the car. I guess he didn't want to be seen with me handing money through the window.
That could make sense. So you can't really confirm. You cannot confirm or deny that this ever really happened.
Yeah, I suspect it was just a
dream.
It's a dream. It was all a dream. Don't worry about Jeff. It was just a dream. Yeah, no, the Chicago Police Department is a bunch of fine, upstanding men and women.
Yeah, they are. I've heard rumors of things like that, but that doesn't really happen.
I don't think that happens.
No. Except the one that yelled at me when my car overheated in downtown.
And they yelled at you because your car overheated?
Yeah, steam's coming out. I didn't know what to do. And then I look over and the guy yells, hey! And I'm like, oh, there were two directing traffic. It was a busy area. I'm like, oh, they're coming to help me.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm like a high school kid working a theater job. He had to get parts somewhere downtown or something. And move the effing car, move the car. I'm like, I can't, something's wrong. And he's like, get it out of here now. And I just jumped in and drove away. But dude, Palatine has the best police ever.
Yeah.
I would say no one ever yells at me.
They do.
Yep.
I always wave at them and I send the money for the policeman's fund.
Yep. Put that sticker on the back.
Yeah, exactly. So what else is going on? We got some ASL stuff going on.
Yeah. Kind of like in the news perhaps. Well, we got a email from, we're not doing letters officially.
No.
Right.
But that's right.
Comment from Eddie Houghton or
Houghton. Maybe.
Who's in Europe, and he asked, what did he, advice did he give us, Jeff?
He said, and I quote, I don't have to quote, but he said, Eddie wrote and he said, I live in Europe and I strongly recommend using public transportation as much as possible. Belgium in particular has fantastic train service. You can even walk the Meuse from Dinant to Namur. Remember, if you rent a car, it will almost certainly be stick shift, that is manual transmission. So get used to driving real cars before you come over.
And my wife had a automatic for the Spain portion, but delayed on getting it, and it was gone. So we are having stick shift car. So tonight, Jeff was kind enough to let Laura and I practice on your vehicle. How'd that go?
That went very well, very smooth. There was no my neck is better. It's better now. No, it was fine. You and you've driven a stick shift before, and Laura has driven a stick shift before, and I could tell right away because you both picked up on it immediately. I know it's been 20 or 30 years since you probably drove one last, but
My mom taught me on the old Volkswagen.
Yeah.
You know, and so, but it was comforting that you let us do that and to just have one less thing to worry about. Like, are we still able to do that?
And I have so the vehicle that Dave was driving that I have is a Jeep Wrangler it's a 2002 model. And the reason why we bought a Wrangler was because I've always wanted a Jeep. I don't care about cars at all, but I have always wanted a Jeep because of my interest and fascination with World War II. And of course, you know, I didn't buy a vintage
military Jeep
or anything, but it is very fun to drive.
It is cool.
It is very cool. And sometimes in the summer, you know, I put the top down, I take the doors off. I can even put the windshield down. Have you ever driven with me with the windshield down?
I don't think so.
We'll have to do that. You got to wear goggles or something. But it makes you feel like,
a scarf,
you know,
a scarf flying in the wind.
And we should get a couple of machine guns.
Oh, yeah. Mount one up.
Baby. Yeah, I'll mount one up like they did on the Rat Patrol. Yeah. Oh, excellent. Excellent. Speaking of Rat Patrol, this has nothing to do with Rat Patrol, but there is something coming up, an ASL tournament coming up. Tussle in the Tundra.
Yes, Eddie sent it also to us. He's asking if we're going. We'll have to talk about that.
Yeah.
He's coming over from Europe for it. So what is it exactly? I remember talking about it in the past, but not lately.
Well, it's an ASL tournament held in Westover, Vermont this year. Westover, not Eastover, and not Leftover.
And not Bendover.
And not Bendover. That's right. That's right. And that's going to be August 1st through August 4th. And I know people don't have much on their schedules right now. So you can go to tussleinthetundra.com and learn all about it.
Fantastic.
Which would be really fun.
They're really not a sponsor officially, though, but
we'll give them a ring because we love them so.
And speaking of our sponsor, Bounding Fire Productions, we have been notified that there is a new product.
Yeah, how about that? You know, I'm not on social media much, and I'm going to include Game Squad and Facebook and stuff like that. I'm just not. So if this has been announced and talked about, which I'm sure it has been, I've missed it all. So this is a wonderful surprise for me. Bitterest Day. Bitterest Day. Send players into Okinawa fighting through the mountainous terrain. And I was just blown away when I saw this. So I'm very excited. I hope we get a copy. 9 action-packed scenarios. 1 full sheet of counters depicting more units, weapons, vehicles, and planes that are depicted in the scenarios. 1 historical ASL map sheet, which represents the historical situation in Okinawa. And we all love maps. I just heard several people I heard fainting as they heard this news.
Oh, yeah, I did hear that too.
I heard their heads hit the ground. So go to boundingfire.com, and you customers in the United States of America can get this for just $71, and all other customers just $91, which is, it's cheaper to buy it than to think about it. So get over there.
That's true. So yeah, here's a look at it. The Bitterest Day, Battle for Sugarloaf Hill. And look at that map.
Battle for Okinawa in Japan, May of 1945.
Look at that. Great looking item there. Gonna have to get that quick and get that reviewed on the show.
ASAP.
It looks like Chad Vanderbos has been involved in that. We should secure an interview with him also.
I was just thinking, you know, Dave, we think alike.
And now it's time for Box Art Review. Jeff, we'll be looking at Twilight of the Reich. You could show that to the fans.
Oh, it's upside down.
Twilight of the Reich.
Do-do-do-do, so this is a very visually attractive piece of art.
I like it a lot. A lot. It has your American soldiers are standing off to the side and they're looking in from the right side, looking into the center, looking down the street. It looks like a Sherman tank is proceeding down the street in one of these cities of the maps that we have just been looking at. And they direct our eye back into the picture, so our eye does not go out of the picture as we look from left to right. Across in the distance, the rubble buildings guiding our eye down the center of the leading lines of the road. Take our eye down along where the tank is going and makes us want to look down around the corner in the city. On the left side, we see a tree used as a framing device, framing out the painting on both sides. A brown building on the right and the tree in the other building on the left.
I frame all my pictures in wood.
Yes, you do. Yes. Is that American's uniform too green? Maybe. I do not know. Maybe that's a good green color.
I think we all enjoy the realism of the box art. But to be honest with you, I'm getting a little tired of it.
You are?
Yeah, I kind of think it's time to move into something more avant-garde. Something nouveau. Art nouveau. Something surrealistic. Maybe get a Dali-esque view of war.
Well,
because, I mean, the artist did a fantastic job in the realism. But I've seen this guy before. Kneeling, he's got the M1 rifle. And, seen the tank. Oh, I've never seen that tank before. Wait, yes, I've seen it everywhere. So, but it is very well done. I'm just trying to be contentious.
Well, I'll tell you, Jeff, you know, the reason I think you're bringing that up there, and I was going to say I like it a lot better than Festung Budapest, where I'm currently playing, Jeff, but maybe does this game seem to meet your...
No, I take back everything I said. I like modern, the realism. Yeah.
Modern standard, where the Festung Budapest was really, I think, a photograph, right? That's just
It looks like a
kind of a negative positive image with strong chiaroscuro and not any color at all.
Yeah,
gray.
True.
So it's unique.
It's still
it's arty.
It's a photo. Right? It's a good photo, though. I mean, it's well framed, and the situation is well presented. But I don't know. We'd like to know what you all think. Let us know. Do you like the realism or do you like the surrealism?
Yeah.
And does it matter? Let's. You know what? It matters. Let's get into a fight about it. Let's draw the lines. The lines must be drawn here.
Everybody on this side and everyone else on that side.
That's right.
And that is Box Art Review. We do have some contests to get to.
Okay. Did I win anything?
No.
Okay. I will get off the edge of my seat.
Your family, you're not allowed to.
Yeah, family and friends, yeah.
But we do have.
That looks like, I can't quite see it. It looks like Schwerpunkt 10.
It is, and 11.
And Schwerpunkt 11. Wow. And
the only way to get this was to watch the all the way through the end credits on episode 336, I think.
336, yeah, that's right.
And then send us an email, Gmail.
And so somebody did.
All right, we have 48 people that watched all the way to the end.
And for 48 people, okay.
Most ever have entered this contest.
Yeah.
Because people hearing it just don't, you know, I hear another contest. But when they see it on the end credits, they're all excited.
Yes.
So we have one entrance person. Can you get a one-sided dice?
Oh, one. Okay. It wasn't 48.
No.
You were exaggerating.
Richard Belasco is our entrance person. Can you
roll the one-sided dice? And here we go. And okay. One.
Number one. Let me look. It is Richard.
You are the winner. Richard.
Yes.
Boy, it was tough.
Man,
it was tough.
Man, he snagged that just by paying attention. Good job, Richard.
It pays to listen to, to watch the entire episode closely. We should start hiding him little Easter eggs and having clues. And
yeah.
No.
Oh, let's bury the rest of our prizes, like somewhere in Nevada. And then come up with like a 100 question.
That's a great idea.
You know,
like the Nazi gold we keep hearing about. And I haven't been keeping up with that. If anybody's keeping up with the latest in the Nazi gold thing, which is all over every place, I'm sure. Let us know. Give us a call. Send us an email. Let us know what's going on with the Nazi gold. We'd like to cash in on that.
Absolutely.
Go to bed.
And, you know, Jeff, since the next item up is my in-depth look at Grumble Jones' March Madness pack.
Volume one. Excellent. Excellent.
I would like to play these. I don't say this all the time.
Yeah, I know we do.
But as you'll hear, they're so clever. He's got dogs, sniffing dogs that can, if they get adjacent to conceal guys, they have to reveal because the dogs can sense.
Yes, yes.
And he's got pick up the ammo shortage. If you get into a building, you can search and come up with ammo. It's people think it's gamey, but I really like that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, it's fun.
As you'll hear.
Yeah.
And a lot of variety in this pack. So if you would like a pack donated by the Kansas City guys, Encircled Productions, we have a set already.
The set we're giving away is unopened and unsullied.
Yes, it is. The one I reviewed, I opened and is going and right into my Kansas ASL.
You opened it and you sullied it.
I did. I was eating pizza.
Yeah. Oh, so, man. Talk about sully.
You know, and I'm old. So.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You got to play that up when you're on the plane so that the stewardess will treat you like you're in first class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Boy.
Did I say stewardess?
Oh, you did. You sexist pig. Oh, man. Flight attendant. Yeah. Times have changed. Yeah. Changed so much that the wheels are falling off. Two guys fall asleep flying a flight and the door's old news. So
yeah. The door that blew off. Yeah.
But I'll be fine.
So how does somebody win this great pack?
You know, we're just pretty much the same old, same old. Send us a Gmail with Grumbly Jones.
And the subject line? Subject line. Yeah, that would work.
If you say Grumble Jones, you got it wrong.
Yeah,
Grumbly. Send it to us by the, there's only going to be one show this month. So
yeah.
End of March.
Okay.
No, before March 25th.
Okay.
So then we can record the 26th.
Oh, true.
Do the drawing, post on the 1st.
Yeah. Okay.
March 26th.
All right. Fantastic.
And now here's an in-depth look at those scenarios.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this look at the Grumble Jones ASL March Madness pack. About time we've gotten to this one. This is a collection of scenarios from Scott Mullins, otherwise known as Grumble Jones, log. This is produced out here by the Kansas City guys and Encircled Productions. And people to credit, the March Madness development team, they have been taken from his website, his blog, wonderful blog. We've talked about it before on the show. And then tweaked a little bit, because as good as Scott is, apparently they could have had a little tweaking and now they're better. And this was play tested by Dan Best, Kevin Bradshaw, Dennis Dowd, Rex Lowen, Dave Moreski, Scott Martin, Tom Meyer, Scott Mullins, Rob Schmidt, Bill Stoppel, James True, Nathan Wegener, and Paul Works. A lot of famous names there. Rick Reinisch adds his touch to the layout, the cover art, etc. And here we have the pack. Let's take a look at the second scenario in the pack, MM75 Woodland Pursuit. This one sure seems like one of the most fun partisan scenarios I've ever had a look at. And I'm not just saying that. Now, I kind of like quirky things, and I had a whole vision of playing this out in with miniatures, but you wouldn't need to do that. So if we take a look at the board from our friends at the ASL Archive, so we take a look at the screen over here, 7A from the ASL Scenario Archive. The partisans are over here, like around here. I don't know if they have to be in the woods. There's 20 of them with leaders east of H. And then there are some Germans elites and conscripts and stuff looking for them with some dogs that can, and they, okay, that unit with the search dogs, I guess, sets up on any non-wood hex of board N or O. So I suppose they can be down this road and the bottom in the plowed field and along any open area. And so they are searching. They have dogs. When they come adjacent to any concealed partisan unit, then it is revealed. Because I guess the dogs sniff them out and start barking that direction. And then there's a group of Germans with 4447s and SPW 250 and four horses. So they're cab and they enter on any of these roads along seven, along board. It's supposed to be 7B. This is labeled 7A. So I don't know if this was set up correctly on the archive or if there's a typo in the scenario card. But anyway, there are houses out here, and in each house is a ammo supply, and the partisans have low ammo, and if they get to the supply, they enter, they can reduce the ammo shortage goes away if they get into an ammo supply. They do roll a dice. Could be all the units going in there are removed, or they can find an LMG also in there to add to their forces in that building. Also, the Germans are going, look in there. So when the Germans go in, they roll a 1 to 2. The ammo supply is discovered and removed. 3 or 4, the ammo counter is not discovered. They roll a 5. It's not discovered. A booby trap goes off. They roll a 6. Some local partisans, 127 half squad, is in there, and they are immediately into close combat. Now, that sounds like a lot of fun and a very replayable scenario. I'm impressed with that one. Next, let's take a look at this MM76, Illy's Block. This one takes place in Ortona. So, and this has 5.5 turns. It's a 1 deluxe board we'll take a look at in a second. And there are 9, maybe 10 Germans defending, because the Canadians need to win the game here. There are no good order German multi-man counters adjacent to Texas H1, H4, and L3. So we'll take a look at those. I think, rarely, but I do think, the Germans, there can be no good order German multi-man counters interadjacent to Texas H1, H4, and, well, that should be H5. Look at that. This is H4. This is, again, ASL Scenario Archive. So it looks like they're clearing out the center here, and the Canadians have 16 squads, leaders, the normal stuff, a flamethrower, 2 DCs, and 2 Shermans coming on. And the setup is to place pre-designated wooden rubble, and debris all lying around the streets between them. And shells, this is a deluxe board I. There's a level 3 building on the east end and a level 3 factory also in there. And then the Germans have a 75 recoilless they can set up on the roof of the factory. And then if the gun doesn't go up there, that says there's no roof, so you can't just throw a bunch of squads up there. So yeah, there you go. And so the little Germans can have some hip. Looks like a really good rubble scenario along the lines of Into the Rubble from Bounding Fire. And Fritz Illy is the Feldwebel, the leader, and the Canadians are doing the attacking. You know, we had always seen Scott's creativity in those special scenarios that he had put out around like Halloween time, and he always sent them to us. And we always enjoyed those, and I had really regret I hadn't looked at all these sooner, because here MM77 Saki at Sunrise sets up, and the special rules look a little daunting. There's a few of them, but they're really quite simple. For example, in this scenario, going 7 turns, got board 9A, 75, and 73, half of those boards, and then separate units of Americans set up. This is the Marines on Guam. You can break out your Marines, indeed, and you've got look at the boards here again from the archive is tents. So the Marines are in these tents. There's a group, a roadblock detachment, I think, is setting up on this 75 hex, on board 75 and BB3. This is maybe around here. They got a roadblock. They got bazookas, a bazooka, a small group. And then there's support elements. These are all the cooks and people like that, clerks, artillery crews, construction troops. They all set up in tents. So all these buildings on 9A are tents. What a great use of the board. And they have the tank dozer, time to break out one of those again. That'd be fun. Couple of trucks, 105 artillery piece. And then the regimental headquarters service company is setting up less than equal to 6 hexes from 9A G10. Single man counters in tents, and the MMCs are in the foxholes. Set up ready for defense there. And then there's these wounded, 8 wounded, 106, parentheses firepower 1, you know, 6 morale units that they're marked as wounded. So the American player records the ID letter for these at start, and they are unarmed, and there's 3 trucks. And they set up according to Special Rule 5, which is stating that the American player then sets them up on 9A and tents hexes number greater than 8. And then they can roll when the prep fire comes along in each prep fire phase to see if the wounded guy can rearm themselves in order to participate in the defense. And so if they roll a 1 or 2, they become a walking wounded squad, U.S. Marine 458 squad. 3 to 5, no effect yet. And a die roll of 6, they pin themselves while they're searching. So, you know, just impressive, impressive thing. The sake in the title is because the Japanese squads have indulged, imbibed in some sake before the battle. And 20 Japanese 447s coming on. Just looks like a blast. Entering turn 1 along that east edge on Sport 75, the northern part of that east edge. And they get there's no quarter, of course. There's Japanese get a +1 to the ambush die roll, probably making a little more noise than they normally do. And I know you may not like your night rules. The first 3 turns of this one are at night, and then the night goes away. You get to play in the daytime. Another fun one looking up here. Day at the Museum, MM78 Board I, Deluxe Board I. Again, 6 turns. This one is taking place in Arnhem, and I'm going there soon. And, of course, it's John Frost Bridge and so on. But this is happening on the side where the Staffordshires are trying to get in to help relieve the paratroopers. So let's take a look at the board. This special rule, this German AA gun sets up here in N2, randomly rolled for covered arc. There is a fire at both levels in F2 on the building. It's just 1 deluxe board. The Germans will be entering with 11 SS 658 squads, Maitov, Schreck, and a Stug, or do you say Stug? And they're going to enter on this east edge. And their goal, okay, is a little tricky, but the Germans win immediately at the end. Oh, I'm sorry. The paras, not the paras, this, well, so the 648 South Staffordshire regiments had come in from the other side and are set up between F and J in the center of the board there. All right. And for victory, the Germans win immediately in the game turn 3 if they control building I3, kind of toward the center but leftish of the game board. Most of these are big stone buildings. Failing that, the side with the most victory points at the game end is winner. Both sides earn CVP normally. The British additionally earn an EVP for units exited off the west edge. So the British get EVP for units exited off the west edge, and the one victory point at the end of each game turn that they control building I-3. At game end, the Germans additionally get a victory point for each German unbroken multi-man counter west of H. And this is double to 2VP if the German unbroken MMC is west of L. So the Germans have an impetus to take the building and win immediately, or push on through into H and or L, which is pretty far west, to get double VP for that. And there's combat victory points as normal. And so the British tend, looks like they want to kind of hold that building, because that's an immediate victory at the game end. So they have to hold that building. If the Germans don't take the building, then there's still a way for the Germans to win if they have been aggressive and pushed west, it seems. And then the British can get points too for holding that building for a long time. And the, as we've said, EVP for exiting. So that's a little tricky doing that, you know, fallback exit thing. But looks like another great one. MM79 race for the Woofies. It's going to have board 9A again, board 5 and 6 over here, and be a 7-turn battle with the King's Own Scottish Borderers 1st Air Landing Brigade, 1st Airborne Division, B Company, holding out at the Woofies Hotel and in the woods to the side. It's going to have... neither side can invoke no quarter. The SS may not massacre. It was a kinder, gentler battle. The rooftop of the hotel is in play. Rooftop hexes can only be accessed through one of the 4 stairway locations in this big building. Let's take a look at our board here. We can see it's down here. This building, if you're looking at board 6 at home on your own, building 6M5 has 21 possible locations. And at game end, the side controlling most locations is the winner. So it's going to be a battle. You may want to make a Xerox copy of that and lay that out in triplicate to have the ground, first and second levels. The possibly the rooftop. And then starting on game turn 4, the British suffer from ammo shortage. And although the SS have an ELR of 4, their multi-man counters are considered to have an underlined morale level for this battle, and there are 4, 6, 8 SS-16 squads coming on with SPW 2511s and the Flak Panzer 38T, and they are going to enter. Oh, they can set up on board 9 on hex H, which, if you're watching, is over here. So there's a lot of open ground if you're going to attack across the top and middle. Little cover on the bottom, but still. So that's 7 turns. So it looks like the Germans are going to have to move. The Brits are going to have to figure out where they're going to make a stand with their initial forces. I don't think they want to wait until the enemy gets all the way to the hotel, but I don't know. That's for you guys to figure out. And again, I'm going to be going to this area, and I did a quick look for the Hotel Woofies on the Google Maps, and I didn't see a lot of hotels popped up, and it's a little, I'll have to do some more research and see if we're gonna have a car. Maybe I can drive there to take a look at this area, what it looks like today, and take a picture and share it all with you next month, 2 months from now, maybe. In the interest of time, I'm gonna skip MM80, jump to MM81, Hanson's Bridge, which is going to be 7.5 turns. It's going to be in the Philippines in 1945. Japanese Americans. And it looks like an interesting one, even starting with the board. Taking a look at the boards here, it looks fantastic. It's got the river on board 6A. You place a bridge along the hexes. H11, J11, K11, and L12 And the Japanese are lax. The Americans are stealthy because there's a lot of Filipino guerrillas around in this scenario. The sniper number is relatively high for a normal American adventure. And the Japanese are denied concealment. It seems like most all the time. They can't gain it. They can't start with it. And then starting on turn four, the Japanese want to create this tank hunter hero who has to run out onto the bridge, and there's a set DC on the bridge, which represents 2,000-pound aerial bombs that have been set by the Japanese. And this DC can be detonated. It's set up hip. And then the tank hunter heroes have to run out and try to roll a die to detonate it. And for some of you, that's kind of gamey. I know it's like one die roll. If I succeed, I get the blow up the bridge. But, you know, anytime you're trying to blow up a bridge, the guy's going to make the task check and do it or not. So have your defense ready to try and shoot those guys. And I know, you know. But anyways, I like that kind of thing. It's just real exciting. And then in addition to that, the Japanese can win the game in if they control the hexes at either end of the bridge. So if you're looking at home, that's H10 and or M13 at either end of that bridge. What else? That seems to be about it. That's Hansen's Bridge in the Philippines, March 1945. And that, there's a couple more scenarios we didn't get to, but it gives you a look at the excitement and kind of unique things that are available in the pack from ASL March Madness, Grumble Jones Pack Volume 1. Available from the Kansas City guys. Fantastic Encircled Productions. And I'll sign off and turn it back over to Jeff and Dave.
Well, those sound great. Makes me want to play those more. They sound really fun.
Isn't that a lot of variety in there?
Yeah.
It's simple,
yeah.
But fun,
yeah.
Different. And so looking forward to it.
I like stuff that adds that kind of flavor that's not too intensely complicated because I have a short-term memory problem. So I'll read a rule, and I think I really do, because I will read a rule.
You do.
And then with it. Yeah. And then as I turn from the rule book back to the table, to the maps on the table, I have forgotten everything I just read.
It's quick.
That is a short, very short-term memory problem.
No, it's harder. You know when you're transposing something, a sentence?
Yeah.
You try. Ba, 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 ba. And you go back and you go, ba, ba, ba.
Yeah.
Ba, 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 ba. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Put it in there.
It's true.
Well, let's end with a look at the latest scenario that Dave and I finished for the Budapest.
Yes. Excellent.
Games as I'm heading out there.
And so are you done with the Budapest pack now?
Not nearly. We talked for an hour.
Oh, okay.
So Dave gets here at 7:15. We talk for half an hour, and then it's 8:30. We play a turn or two, and then I try to push another turn. Oh, let's do another turn. And he's like, oh, no, next week.
Yeah.
And so it's a wonderfully leisurely game. And as you'll see in this recording, if I'm remembering which one it is, I had time to pre-plan the move. I might start, and then it gives you a clearer vision, as you'll hear me talk about. Oh, good.
All right, everybody. This is the end game of FB2, The Devil's Free to Have a Try in Festung Budapest. And what we're looking at here is that I, Dave, the Hungarian Germans, had time to plan out a nice move when there's multiple victory condition options for Dave Timonen, the Russian, needed to control 1, 2, 3 of these locations. That counts as a point. Control this building, C30, and E29. Each was a point. He needed to get 4 points. He could get the casualty points, I think 22 or something. He only had about a 10 at the last turn and capture a gun, which was up here. He captured it and destroyed it somewhere up on this hill. Didn't think he'd come up there. He found it and destroyed it. Currently has a tank there. Or control 10 of these buildings in this dotted line we drew on the board. So I could take the time to plan out a good move, which I might have missed a trick or two if I had to do it, feeling pressure to end the game that night. But the mortar here, so I figured out that there's no way I'm getting back the pack gun he destroyed or this building here. So give him up. So I needed to defend, try and take back and defend these foxhole wreck hexes. One of them. And control 10 buildings. So 1, 2, 3, way back here, 4, 5, 6. These are like in the row 38, 39, I-39. Then the ones around G-36, G-37, 35. Not going to get those back. But I could take J-33 back and J-31 back. As well as hold the ones here. There's a melee in G-31. And so I had a mortar here, a roadblock in hex F-30. It makes a nice wall. And you can route then behind it without getting shot with people looking down the street. So you can think of a roadblock, not to stop tanks as much as to give yourself a wall. You can route and move across the street behind it. For example, from E-29 to G-30 without getting intercepted from E-31. Well, yeah, E-31 would count, but D-31 or C-32, etc. By this end game, I took the mortar shot first, I think. Well, I had a rally to do, and I realized I needed to trade off a medium to a half squad. So the firepower got increased. I think it was an E-30. No, they were an E-29 at the start of the turn. And Dave was adjacent in D-29, and he didn't take the trenches. I don't know, forget why, but had he even, the shot adjacent was going to be like 16. I think it got to a 20 when I passed off the medium from a half squad to a crew and hit D-29 with a low shot with a neg one leader. And I was hoping for a rate, and I got the rate, and I could throw it on C-30, which had some a guy that rallied, a squad that was still broken, and a leader that rallied. I just wanted to DM that squad that was still broken. And, of course, I rolled something really low, and that was my old fortified hex. And Dave failed all the rolls. They were all end up broken. Now I'm thinking, well, I can counterattack and take C-30. Raid again. I think I took a shot at the crew-exposed tank up between B-27 and B-28. And then, so that was thrilling enough. And then the mortar, really can't shoot these adjacent guys. He's going to get hit. Doesn't matter if he does, right? Can't move the mortar. Really, I had an end of turn 6, and then he'd have turn 7. And I would have had end of turn 7, but I wanted to try to end this. Then the mortar hit D-30, which you can see is a trench again. Where I started the position was driven back. And again, hit, rate. Vapoed them all, like a leader, maybe a squad and a half squad. I think Dave said I had taken out a quarter or so of his starting forces, including some weapons that failed on a really low on the KIAs. And so that was good enough too. And then prepping the AA gun that I picked up, luckily, in the rally phase, an I-30
and Dave had a squad in I-31. So obviously that's adjacent. You know, he was moving from J-31 into I-31, trying to get these buildings in the railway station. And that, I think, vapoed him. Yeah, he was gone. Rate. Yeah, then I turned and rated H-30, and that ended it. And he has a half squad in H-30. You know, a crew, 127. And then I had moving in L-30, a squad in a trench back here by the Varsveroms Major Kindergarten and Primary School. And he could run to K-33 and then jump into J-33, taking back that building. I had a squad in L-29 upstairs. I think he had to go down over the hedge. He ends up in J-31, retaking that location. Leader, I just stuck here in J-30. And I had a hidden Shrek and a half squad in K-33, which could move over the tennis courts into J-33. And I could take out his tank in H-32, blaze it up, and then advance into I-32, taking away one of the three wreck foxhole locations that needed to be controlled. And it was pretty devastating in itself. We're still in a melee in J-31. He routed some guys out. And that pretty much demoralized him because he only has one turn left. And another thing to think about when defending here is, and so then I spread out. I still have a fortified location, E-29, so he's not taking that back. And he has the flame-throwing tank. Oh, it ran out of fuel. Sorry. So, yeah, he rolled really bad morale checks and then ran out of fuel on the flame-throwing tank. So it's still got a gun, but you can see that's pretty demoralizing. And not a lot of squads left for him to counterattack over across the railway and get back much to win the game. And he's not going to get 22 victory points unless y'all are seeing something we're not. And I don't think I even finished advancing, but another thing I was thinking about was, you know, I could have given up E-29 and then he would have 3 points, C-30, E-29, and the gun he captured. But I could take those boys back across the road to help defend the railway station and the foxhole tank hexes. Supposed to be a lamp back here. And you could, and I was thinking too, you know, if I line up along the road, he could move into the buildings, but then he wouldn't have enough move to overrun anybody in the road with his infantry. And then he'd have to advance in, and then he wouldn't be able to have enough turns to get into the next row, you know, kind of trick of blocking the movement with your troops or your routed troops and so on. And that was the game. So that's how that one ended up. And we are off to the next one, which is going to be FB6. We want to get to a different section of the map. Came tumbling after.
And so that's how that went.
Yeah, excellent. Excellent. So how many more do you think you've got?
17.
Wow.
I think there's 18, I'm guessing. Played three or, yeah.
Oh, is that all?
That's okay. All. And it's been okay. Months.
Yeah.
You know, couple take. Well, this one we're doing now, I'm hoping to kick out tomorrow night before I leave.
Yeah.
And he's like, to finish that tomorrow night. I'm like, yeah, I'm attacking and I'm just going because I don't
go
care.
For it. Yes.
I want to get it done before I go to Budapest. So I'm just coming at you like a crazy man.
Well, I look forward to seeing when you get back.
Yes.
And we'll play something.
All right. Until next time, everybody. Roll low.
And
rolly well.
What?
Rolly, roll low and rolly well.
Roll Well, and so say all of us. Rally well. Oh. Rally well.
And so say all of us.
Yes. But not when you're playing us.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody. See you next time.